celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio. Here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
And your dream team, animal communicator Joy Turner, dog father Joey Volani, dog trainer Alan Cable, and Dr. Debbie all answering your questions. And Miss Stacy Cohn working hard in the newsroom. What's going on, girlfriend?
You know, I went on vacation about a week ago, and I got to tell you, I could not wait to get home to my dogs. I had a great time on vacation, but there's just something about playing with my dogs. I just love to play with my dogs. But according to a recent survey, more than 80% of Americans don't put enough playtime into their lives. Huh. And if Americans could choose between their dog and their spouse to play with, who do you think they would pick? I'll tell you, coming up on Animal Radio News.
Well, of course,
that's an easy one.
Yeah, that is an easy one. My dog never complains or bitches or moans or anything like that. That's why I like playing with my dog.
Well, they don't talk.
You know, they know how to talk. They just opt not to. They're smart enough not to. That's what I figured out. Actually, I'm reading a really great book right now, Do Dogs Dream by Stanley Coren. Is he going to be on the show?
Yeah, he's coming up in about a week or two. He might even be next week.
Oh,
next
really?
Week. Their vision. I thought they had really great vision, but apparently they don't. They have 20/75 vision. What we see at 75 feet, they have to be at 20 feet to see. And also, this whole color thing, all the mysteries put to rest right here. They do not see red. And when you see, we have these big red toys. I know Ladybug has these red toys, and we throw them in the grass, and then she passes them, and we sort of make a joke about it. It's because she can't tell the difference. The red looks a little gray-green.
Well, I guess I'll wait till he comes on the show because I don't know too much. Well, I'm, you know, so I'm not scientific, but you think of all the sighthounds out there. I thought that was the whole thing is because they could see so damn good.
Well, you know, I think what it is, it's the movement.
They see movement.
They see
very
the
well.
Movement.
They
see flickers on the television, you know? You see all these things about dog TV and all these videos. That, truthfully, they see flickers. And I'll tell you more. Actually, Stanley Coren will tell you more about that. That's a totally different show that I'm off on a tangent there. Today, Jamie Farr from MASH, if you remember Klinger.
Jamie Farr.
Klinger, oh, yeah.
Yes. Jamie Farr was the cross-dresser, right?
There
yes, he
go.
Was.
The cross-dresser. Okay.
And he'll be joining us after he makes his way over from Chick-fil-A. Today, I understand. Also, I just got off the phone with truck driver Terry, and he wanted to know if all the women on the show are as good looking as they sound. And I am here to say they are better looking than they sound.
Oh, thank you,
Hal.
Mm-hmm.
They
are.
They are. He said he tuned in to TLC when we were on TLC.
Right.
To check the women out.
Uh-oh.
And only saw me because I guess the women ended up on the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
He was very disappointed.
Who did that? Wow. Who was in charge
That's
of that
some
executive
ugly
decision.
Woman there?
Yeah. We got to do something for her.
Yes, we do. Joey, what are you talking about today? What's your tip of the week?
If your dog has a little irritation, they're itching their ass off, I got a good tip for you. Right from the groomer's tack box.
I had that problem when I was a kid, and it turned out I had worms.
Did you scoot along the carpet?
Actually, it was awful. I scratched and scratched and scratched and scratched, and then one day one of the worms came out, and that's how I found out. I was like 9 years old. Yeah. Yeah. Don't put your fingers in your mouth.
We have Deb calling from Hawaii. Hey, Deb, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
What's going on?
Well, my cat's got an abscess on his foot. I think he got bit by another cat. I wasn't sure to begin with. And when he first presented, it was really, really swollen, and he was limping and stuff. So I gave him some homeopathic remedy. Then the next day, I realized that he'd licked around the wound, and you could see a puncture wound. So then I started soaking it with hot water and trying to squeeze it out, and I was squeezing pus out. And so I did that for 2 or 3 days, and the swelling went down a lot. Of course, he didn't like it, you know, because I'm sure it hurt a little. And so I squeezed all the pus out as much as I could, and then it turned clear. So I kept continuing to do that. In the meantime, he kept feeling better and stuff. So now it got to a point where all the pus had come out, but there was still some liquid coming out. It was just clear liquid, basically.
Okay.
And a little bit of marble size left over. And now it's healed over. And
okay.
I can't get any more out. So it's still about a little bit of marble size, but it seems like it's gone down a little bit. And he feels fine. You know, he's fully energetic.
Okay. So, Deb, is there a reason that you haven't gotten this kitty on antibiotics and seen a vet?
I just haven't really seen a need for it to do that because I've talked to other people, and they say, you know, pretty much it's going to have to run its course anyway.
Okay. So I'm a fan of definitely minimalistic treatment if it is appropriate. And what you're describing when we have a swollen body part where there's actually pus coming out, that is for me a number one indication when we need to seek antibiotic therapy. Now, the small little cuts, scratches, things like that, yeah, I'm a fan of superficial treatment using something like Vetracin, just a little bit of wound care. But once you have swelling under the skin, redness, warmth to the tissues, once you have that for more than 12 hours, you've got an established infection or cellulitis. So we need to get that kitty on antibiotics. And while I'm glad he's feeling okay, in your opinion, normally with kitties in this situation, when they have a really swollen, pussy body part, antibiotics within 24 to 36 hours, this will be done and gone. So, you know, it's a missed opportunity to expedite the healing in your pet. Not too late, and I would certainly still see about getting this kitty on some medication. And there's a lot of ways we can do that. There's even an injectable antibiotic in cats that you just give once and it lasts for several weeks, so you don't have to keep redosing. Anything, I think, in this point would be helpful to see this to resolution. Again, you just, you know, pain control is another big thing. Once we get to these red, swollen, painful things, I was almost sent to the hospital for a cat bite. And a lot of times what happens with these wounds that kitties and dogs get is the skin will seal over very quickly, and it traps that bacteria and the infection under the skin. So while, yes, we do need to get that infection out and liberated, we also have to treat it at its core. And antibiotics are definitely indicated for these type of situations. So I would just encourage you to see a vet, at least get some of that basic care that we need to get going. And then you can supplement that with the home care, the wound care, soaks, and so forth on top of that. Does that make sense?
Well, it makes sense, but it is not hot and it isn't red.
Okay. Well, we're past that point now, but as I said, once we have pus is yellow, it's white. Once we have that thick exudate coming out of the skin, that is an established infection. So that's the point where we really should be intervening with antibiotics. My goal as a veterinarian is to help preserve suffering in pets. So I want to make sure that we get the best help we can as early as possible and for the most appropriate situations. So that would be my recommendations. And just in, you know, the future, for those small cuts and scrapes, I like that approach. I think that's a very good proactive approach. But there's a time you need to pick up that phone and see the veterinarian.
Okay, now what were you suggesting for those small scratches? You mentioned something.
There's a product that I use a lot in the office, and I know some of the other fans of the show use. It's called Vetracin. It's a topical spray that does not contain antibiotics. It does not contain any harsh chemicals. And it kills bacteria and other organisms very rapidly with an application. So you can use that for those little oops, cut, scrapes, and not meant so much for wound flushing in that instance, but for the topical things. So hope that helps, Deb, and give your kitty a good pat on the head, and hope he's back to feeling his old feline self very soon.
Coming up on the show today, actor Jamie Farr. I'm sorry, I checked out for like just a tenth of a second right there. I forgot who it was. Jamie Farr, Klinger from MASH.
The cross-dresser.
I don't think he's done anything since. Oh, speaking of cross-dressing, Joey Volani in today with, I see that, you know, you've lost a lot of weight, but you haven't got a new wardrobe yet. The pants that you're wearing look like they're about to fall off. The shirt looks like it's about to fall. You drown in your shirt.
Well, I was coming here. You know, it's not like we're in front of, you know, a live studio audience here. I mean, if people were watching me, then, you know, I figured I can come, you know, dressed a little bit down-dressed there, Hal.
It's not lack of a wardrobe.
When I go out in the real world, I got clothes that actually fit. And in case anyone is wondering how come I sound so good today, is because our master had me on a tight leash and sent me an email that said that I better keep my lip closer to the mic because I am, you know, it doesn't sound
too
good.
I'm like a dog whistle
today, okay? You can hear me loud and clear, baby.
You do sound absolutely phenomenal today. I'll just tell you that right now. And the master is much happier because of that.
No, he glued my bottom lip to the microphone. Yeah. It was crazy good. This will come off, right?
No, you're stuck here.
Sometime.
Let's see. Stacey Cohen, of course, she is in her very own news booth. She refuses to
join us. Yes. She's a smart one.
What are you working on?
You wonder, you know, you wonder about people sometimes.
Sure.
Why would somebody dress up as a goat and then go hang out with them? Maybe they were doing an intensive study or something, some type of scientific thing. Or maybe they're just crazy. Well, there's a guy that's been hanging out in Utah, living with the goats, dressed as one. I'll tell you why and how they found him, coming up on Animal Radio News.
All you had to do was say Utah.
Yep.
I saw that story. I love that story. The goat man, he lives with the goats. He's one with the goats.
One with the goats.
Bah. Yes. Yes.
Well, that's a sheep, isn't
Not
it?
Not bad.
Yeah. This is the kind of stuff you'll only find out right here on Animal Radio. Joey Villani, what are you going to be working on today?
I am going to give you some real good grooming secrets if your dog gets a little irritation or brush burn, how to take care of it with something that you probably have in your bathroom.
Probably have it.
Toothpaste?
Not toothpaste, but I bet if you look under your sink, most households will have something.
Preparation
that I'm
H?
Going to talk about.
I'm just thinking what's under my sink.
Preparation H.
That's actually on my countertop.
That might work for other things, though, but you never know.
A toaster?
Also on my show today. Did I say my show? That is so Freudian. That's so weird.
Yeah, it's the really, master.
I'm like...
The master. I told you. It's, you know, where we're going with this.
The fact master. Of the matter is, I'm taking credit for what really is, you know, Dr. Debbie and Alan Cable and Dogfather Joey Villani. And also on the
you
show...
Know, you left... Wait, hold on. No. You left out the probably the most important person in the whole show. That makes sure that everything happens here, exactly. Judy, I don't know. I would give him a good shot if I was you.
Will do.
She was busy on the phone.
Yeah, I was on the phone. I don't know what you're talking about, but
she's
okay.
She's screening calls.
I've got two conversations going on. The one
she's
here
a multitasker.
In the studio and the one on the phone. Yeah.
I'll tell you, she is a genius. You know, she doesn't get the credit that, you know, all these celebrities that we have for the season of stars.
Look, he's trying to recover now. He's trying to recover.
Yeah.
Yeah, boy.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is
Animal Radio.
What was that?
I got the hiccups.
You're right there, pal.
I'm sorry.
Right. Give you a good shot on the back or something.
Yeah, if you could do that. Jeez, man. Almost out of the
What's
room.
What's that flew out there?
What I don't know. That? I think it was my dentures.
It was a feather.
Let's go to the phones. We have Wendy on the phones for Alan Cable, dog trainer extraordinaire.
Hello.
Hey,
I'm
Wendy.
Glad it was the hiccups and not my phone.
Yeah. What's going on in your world?
Well, I have this adorable, sweet, lovely year-and-a-half-old golden doodle. He's neutered. And lately, when I take him to the dog park, if he finds a ball, he'll get very possessive of it with the other dogs.
It's not his ball? It's another dog's ball?
It's one he finds, and he has plenty of toys at home, and he doesn't do that when other dogs come to my house. But he does it at the dog's
park. That's another kind of aggression called possessive aggression. I like to call that. It's when a dog, in the old days, when dogs were first becoming dogs, you know, they would compete for everything. They'd compete for their food and they'd compete for their sleeping place, their mates. They'd compete. And so, today, dogs often guard their food. Some of them guard where they sleep. Some of them guard their crates. Some of them guard even the beds that their owners sleep in. So when your dog's taking a toy away from another dog and acting aggressive towards that dog, he's taking possession of that toy. And so you probably don't like that. You want him to stop, right?
Yeah, because I'm afraid he's going to act aggressive toward, like, a pit bull or something down there, you know?
Yeah, take
and
his
I
toy away.
And I don't know how to stop him or what to train him or...
Well, the simplest thing you can do is keep your dog on a leash at the dog park, okay? And does your dog know the command no bite or give? Have you taught your dog to let go of things?
Yeah, okay. I say let go.
All right, so what you can do is you can bring your dog to the dog park on a leash, and you can actually elicit the help of another dog owner and take that toy and actually give it to your dog. Give the other dog's toy to your dog, and then give your dog the command no bite. And I believe when you do training, when you do behavior modification with dogs, it's real important to reward them for the behavior that they're doing that you want, and not reward them for negative behavior. When they're not doing what you want, you just pay no attention to them, or you actually, you know, you give them a quick correction, like no. So when the dog lets the toy go, you actually give the dog some praise and turn around and walk the opposite direction very fast, away from the toy. The next step is to let the other dog walk over and pick up his toy while you've got your dog on the leash. And when he acts calm, when he's acting calm, if he acts kooky, you turn and walk the other direction quickly, giving him a correction. Because as soon as the leash gets taut, he's going to get a major correction in his neck. And that's going to teach him that not only are you in charge, he has to be close to you, pay attention to you, and it's going to get his mind off being possessive of that toy very quickly. And as soon as he starts to calmly behave when other dogs come around and take their toys back or pick up toys, you give him praise, and then you let him off the leash. Up until that point, you've got to keep him on a leash at the dog park so that you can make those corrections when he acts aggressive.
Yeah, because this is very strange behavior, because when I've socialized him from the day I got him as a puppy, and he used to like to go to the dog park and play with other dogs, but lately all he does is look for lost balls and want to play with me. And then when he's too tired of playing and doesn't want to be around other dogs, he'll take that ball and go off somewhere and guard it.
Has anything happened? Anything? Has he been attacked by another dog or frightened by another dog?
When he was growing up, because he was smaller, the other dogs, you know, would do what they do. And I would watch very carefully. And he finally, one day, these three dogs went at him at once, and he laid them all out one by one, faster than I've seen a pit bull move.
That's pretty cool.
And then he hasn't had to protect himself, and he hasn't done that.
Well, it's interesting what you say. He hasn't had to protect himself because you, as the pack leader, you're almost charged with protecting him. So if you're going to let your dog off a leash around other dogs, you have to be prepared to step in. And it's very, very careful. You have to be very careful when you do this because you don't want to get bitten. But you have to learn to step in and show your dog that, yeah, you're the pack leader. You're going to protect him. Because what that does makes him anxious. I have another neighbor. I was telling a neighbor story before, and he was watching three dogs here in the neighborhood. And the dogs were literally having their way with him. They were jumping all over him. And so he called me up on the phone, and I went over there. And basically, every time they tried to jump on him, I just took the space away, just walked forcefully right into the dog and said, no, down. It's kind of like you have to be in charge. You have to walk in front of your dog. Don't let your dog walk in front of you. Don't let your dog enter the house before you. And when you bring your dog around other dogs, watch the body language of the other dogs. If you see any sign of aggression, put yourself between your dog and those dogs. Not when they're biting and attacking, but take the space away from the other dog. Take that space. Be the pack leader.
He thinks that he's protecting me instead
Absolutely.
Of the other way around.
Absolutely. He is your pack leader. He's in charge. Uh-oh. And because dogs are not meant to be the pack leader, it makes them anxious. It makes them fearful.
Understand. That makes
you
sense.
Have to be You have to be the pack leader.
Okay. Well, I will go home and take care of that, and thank you for having such a wonderful show. I can call.
Thanks, Wendy. We appreciate your call.
Thank you.
Isn't it great that we have a show that we can call?
I know. No, wait a minute. Now, what happens when somebody's breaking into my house and I want the dog to not look at me and say, what are you going to do?
That's Joey. That's an interesting preponderance. And I will tell you right now that even if your dog, if you had like four dogs and two adults, the lowest dog on the totem pole in the pack order will step up and defend the pack when necessary.
It's just like here at the studio.
Gotcha. Yes. Yes. If somebody breaks in, we'll use Hal as a shield.
This portion of Take Animal care. Radio is brought to you by Fear Free Happy Homes. Don't forget, you can get your fix of Animal Radio anytime you want with the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android. It's made possible by Fear Free Happy Homes.
helping your pets live their happiest, healthiest, fullest lives at home, at the vet, and everywhere in between. Visit them at fearfreehappyhomes.com. And thanks, Fear Free, for underwriting Animal Radio.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
This is an Animal Radio News Update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. Officials at an Oklahoma library have turned to a four-legged friend to deal with a recent bedbug infestation. The Tulsa World reports that the state's only bedbug-sniffing dog, Miss Liberty Bell, was called in to see just how bad the Tulsa Central Library's problem was. The facility was evacuated after somebody said they were bitten. However, a spokesman says it appears to be an isolated incident believed to be contained within a small portion of the library. Still, though, the entire library will remain closed until Miss Liberty Bell and a team of exterminators are certain all of the bed bugs have been expunged. Nothing like a dog going in to kill a bug, right? I don't know. Who trains a dog to get bed bugs? How does a dog know from one bug to the next? Anyway. Former host of The Price is Right, Bob Barker, and the group Mercy for Animals is calling on Walmart. They want them to stop buying pork from a factory farm that he says treats pigs cruelly. On a website video, Barker narrated an undercover video that was made at a factory farm.
These pigs in these crates can't even turn around. They can't lie down. Every day is a living hell for them.
Barker held a press conference in L.A. He was talking about the undercover video. He's seeking to pressure retail outlets and restaurant chains to stop doing business with suppliers that use the small pens to hold pregnant sows. Well, if you would like to put more playtime into your life, one of the best things to do is get a dog. A recent Benefit poll shows that adults who have a dog are 30% more likely to carve out opportunities several times a week to play. And for 61%, the play companion they enjoy the most is their dog. By comparison, 48% would rather play with their spouse or significant other, and 37% would prefer to have a good time with their friends. In addition, the majority believe Americans should spend more time playing. More than 80% say Americans don't put enough playtime into their lives. In addition, 47% of dog owners believe their pets would benefit from playing more often. I would rather play with my dogs than anything. I was on vacation. I couldn't wait to get home and play with my dogs. A Pennsylvania Bears attempt to do a little shopping led to the evacuation of a Pittsburgh mall. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, officials say this female black bear walked into the Sears at the Pittsburgh Mills Mall on a Saturday, and wildlife conservation officer Dan Pahula says they were eventually able to lure this animal between the automatic double doors. They had to tranquilize her. She was shopping. She needed a new wheelbarrow. They did wheel her outside. Witnesses say the bear was spotted roaming around other nearby stores earlier in the day, although no injuries have been reported. That poor bear was probably just shopping for a new dress or something. Who knows? I'm Stacey Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio News Update. Get more at animalradio.com.
It's Animal Radio.
Jamie Farr, clinger from MASH, Yeah, he's still alive, and he's going to be joining us in just a few minutes. I guess I shouldn't be saying that anymore.
Stop saying that.
Got the ire of the Doris Day people when I said that. Yes, sir.
Yeah, you've been saying that a lot about a lot of us.
Well, because I got to tell you, I think Animal Radio is where you go to die. I mean, look at seriously.
Stop it.
First, look at our careers.
I have chest pains. I'm sorry.
And then look, remember Davy Jones? Davy Jones called us, and then a week later,
okay,
he
who
died.
Else?
Let's see who else.
No one else.
Well, let's see.
No,
there's some dead people. Rue McClanahan.
Oh, yeah.
Leslie Nielsen. Dom DeLuise.
Buddy Hackett.
Buddy Hackett. Okay. They all come on Animal Radio, and that's it for them.
Okay, stop it.
Sounds like a job for Columbo.
Yeah. We here at Animal Radio believe all your... your animals should be microchipped.
And just spayed and neutered.
Spayed, neutered, microchipped. And you know what? I'd always say a tag because sometimes when they get lost...
That's true.
You don't know that they have a microchip.
You need something that you can read.
Need something that you can... to read immediately.
Okay, guys, let's focus.
And this is very serious because the ASPCA did a random digit dial survey of pet guardians. They just got on the phone and started dialing numbers. And to just ask them if they ever lost a dog or a cat in the past 5 years. Now, out of 1,000 people that they called, 15% had lost a dog or cat in the last 5 years.
That's quite high, I think.
Actually, a lower number than had been reported.
Really?
Is that a lost pet that doesn't come home, or is that a dog that just runs down the street and you can't find them for 5 minutes?
Some of them have come home. 85% of those lost dogs and cats were recovered. And then the percentage of lost dogs compared to the lost cats, quite similar, 14% of the dogs and 15% for cats. And then cat guardians were less likely to find their cat. Only 74% of those lost cats were recovered, while 93% of those lost dogs were recovered. On the phone, we welcome back to the show, Dr. Emily Weiss from the ASPCA. She's the VP of Shelter Research and Development for the ASPCA. Welcome, Doc.
Thank you. Great to be here.
I am always concerned about we have so many animals, and some of the animals that we have, if they hear a noise, they get really spooked and they take off. I on 4th of July, I lock them all into one room because I don't want them to run away. And mm-hmm. that has been, you know, 4th of July, the week after the 4th of July, we get dozens of calls, people saying, I lost my dog, I lost my cat. Can you make an announcement on the air?
Yeah, well, you know, year round, people can definitely lose their pets. And certainly the 4th of July is a time when there's a potential for your pet to run away and act in a way that you might not expect, which is often when folks lose pets. Things are a little bit different. You're moving, or you have equipment coming into your home, or it's often at times that something different is happening in your home.
So you did this random digit dial survey. Tell us a little bit about that. What did you find out?
We did this survey of pet owners, and we really just wanted to find out what the experiences are around lost pets and how many people lose them. Of those who lose them, how many get them back, and where do they look? We were really interested in finding out how people are searching for their pets. Mm. And what we found is about 15% of people who have owned dogs or cats have lost them within the last 5 years. More of them were recovered than we actually expected.
So that's good.
Yeah, 93% of dogs, and lower for cats, which is a little concerning, 74% of cats. But when you think about some of the differences between how pet owners treat dogs and cats, especially I heard you talking a little earlier about ID tags, cats are less likely to be wearing a collar and tag than mm-hmm. dogs are. And in fact, we have done some research around ID tagging as well.
Well, I'm always worried of putting a collar on a cat because they're climbing in trees. And frankly, your cat shouldn't be outdoors anyway. But if you do have an outdoor cat and they do have a collar, they're climbing in trees. And will that collar get caught on a branch or a twig? Could they choke? Could something happen? That's my main fear.
Yeah, you know, I think that, and there's been some great data, some great research around collaring in cats and looking for the incidence of issues like getting the collar caught, and found that it's, in fact, very, very low. The simple buckle collar, just that regular buckle collar that we normally put on dogs as opposed to cats is one that's least likely to get hung up anywhere.
You know, they also have those breakaway collars, too, that if something, I guess if there's a pressure put on it, it'll just go ahead and unlock. So if they do get snagged or hung up.
That same research study found that those breakaway collars don't always do what they're supposed to do. They don't always break away. And also, they can break away at the wrong time.
What amount of these animals that were found had microchips? What role does the microchip play?
Well, in our study, the microchip was not a way in which the dogs or cats were got home. Part of that is simply because not that many dogs or cats have microchips yet.
Really?
And in order to get home with a microchip, the animal needs to get to a vet or get to a shelter. We are huge proponents as well of microchips and feel that they're very, very important. But they're almost the second safety net. The first safety net is that simple ID tag.
Hey, let me ask a question. With people losing their pets, how much do you find that it's just pure negligence? Because I know, listen, I've pets my whole life, and we've always known to close the gate behind you, make sure you're not opening the door, and letting the dogs run out. I mean, I don't lose pets. I mean, so how often do you find that it's just negligence of the pet owner?
You know, I work in animal welfare with people who would lay their life on the line for their pets every day, including me. And some of them have lost their pets. Things can happen to all of us, whether it's we make sure we shut that door, but a hinge breaks, or, you know, we lock the gate, but a service person leaves it open. Things can happen, even to the most responsible people.
What have you learned from this study? What kind of recommendations do you have for people in the future should they lose their pet? What are the best tips you can give them?
Well, one of the most important things that we learned is that the majority of people who lost dogs and cats found them within their neighborhood. And we strongly suggest looking quickly and looking often. One of the things that we found with cat owners is that they can tend to wait too long, so they wait for the cat to come home as opposed to going out and looking quickly.
Now, what about stuff like catnip? I mean, if you're giving your cat catnip a lot and your cat's feeling all good and all that, even if he escapes, would he stay closer to the house because he's getting his fix?
I like your questions. Making laugh. So you're auditory catnip yourself. I would say that, you know, certainly catnip can, for some cats, can increase arousal and be more likely to run outside.
I love that, auditory catnip. That's what we're going to call you now, Alan. Dr. Emily Weiss, thank you so much for joining us. We can learn more over at the website at www.aspca.org. Folks doing some great work.
Hey, Eric and Rashi here, hosts of the CBS TV series Lucky Dog.
We're also the spokespeople for the 14th annual Get Your Licks on Route 66 Pet Adoption Tour, brought to you by Fido Friendly Magazine.
The tour travels from Los Angeles to Chicago, stopping at shelters along the way to support adoption events.
Join us and show sponsor Chewy at the tour's kickoff event on Saturday, August 27th, where lots of great pets will be available for adoption.
To find out where the tour stops near you, log on to FidoFriendly.com, and who knows, you just might find your new forever friend.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, Kathy, how you doing?
I'm real good. How about yourself?
Well, I'm hoping your animal's okay.
Well, she is and she isn't.
What's going on?
How's that for a terrible answer?
Well, let's hear about it.
Okay, she's 1 year old and she is spayed. Her name is Destiny.
Okay.
And she started having problems. When she would go in the litter pan to have a bowel movement, she would come shooting out and kind of drag her rear end on the floor a little bit. And we thought at first maybe she had a hair, because sometimes, you know, that it gets stuck and all that. But it would happen more than just once, so we took her to the vet. And the vet checked her out and said that her anal glands had fluid in them. So now she got the fluid out. And then I think she stuck her on an inflammatory for a little while, but it was like 2 weeks after that, Destiny would start doing this again. So now she has her on a steroid, which we are weaning her off of that, and she's also on a very bland diet because of finding out about allergies. Mm-hmm. Now, my vet said there could be something else that's causing her to have this problem, because it's not always that the anal glands are that swollen or that filled up with fluid, but she couldn't think of it at the time. Now, you're going to say, why don't I just go back to the vet? The problem with that is she just had lost her daughter in a very tragic accident, so she's taking some time off, and I don't like to disturb her, of course, with that.
Okay, certainly. So now I got to ask you, Kathy, with your kitty, what was the status of the stool when she was having this problem? Was there diarrhea or constipation?
Just normal.
It was normal, but she was still coming running out of the poop box.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. Because there's a lot of different things. When we're talking about something that's causing that dramatic of a situation coming out of the box, we're really going to look for anything that's causing pain. And that could be constipation. It could be diarrhea. And it can be anal gland problems. You know, in cats, it's pretty uncommon. It can happen. But especially in a youngster like that, I'd look for some of these other potential causes. Mm-hmm. And they're working on some of the diet management, and the poops are normal. I'm really happy to hear that her stools are good, but we're going to have some challenges as far as now. Right now, is she using the litter box? Are we having any issues with that?
No, we have problems now with that. She'll urinate in there, but she won't have her bowel movement in there. And I'm thinking she's afraid it's going to hurt if she goes in there.
Absolutely.
So I don't know how to figure out how to help her with that part either.
Okay. Well, if the stool situation is improving so that we're pooping comfortably, we're certain that she's not in discomfort, we have to deal with this litter box aversion, which is a huge problem in cats. So if your kitty knows where the litter box is, uses it, and stops using it all of a sudden, especially if they're urinating and defecating outside of the box, we really have to look at the situation in the litter box. Now, for your kitty, we can really pair that with something painful and uncomfortable. And cats, when faced with that in the litter box, will refuse to go back to that. So we have to retrain her to the whole litter box experience. And that means we're going to start fresh. So we're going to find a new location for that litter box.
Okay.
We're going to add more litter boxes, and we're going to change the whole structure in the environment. So depending on what type of litter substrate you've used before, we're going to ask you to experiment with that. So if you've used scoopable, we'll maybe go to clay. If you had a lid on that litter box, get that lid off and set it aside. We'll go back to that later. But initially, we need to train her without anything that's going to cause any kind of compromising of her emotional state, if you will.
Okay.
And then we're going to also want to make sure that we change some kitties like easy entry into litter boxes. So I may even change the shape of the litter box. You don't have to buy those silly ones at the pet store. You can make your own even out of plastic storage container trays. And those are really nice, especially for older kitties that have troubles with missing the box, because it can be a low edge. It's a pain to clean because they scoop and they scratch things out. But for the cat, when we're trying to train them to make it as easy as possible, it's one other technique you can try to really make that less scary or less of an imposition for her to use that. So we've got to do all of that, and do not put that litter box in the same location. Just the location alone can be a very big problem for many cats.
Yeah, because when she goes, it's always close to where the litter pan is.
Mm-hmm,
so it's like she knows, but it just, she won't go in there.
Exactly. And it's kind of like, oh, gosh, when you go camping, there are those porta potties, and, you just don't want to use them. Sometimes, I don't know anybody who might do this and go off into the woods and go in the woods instead of using the porta potty, but it does happen. And it's the same thing that our kitties are experiencing. They want to use it. They know it's the right place, but they just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you've got the right idea. We just have to get those things together to give her a new location, a new whole sense of the litter box experience. And then gradually, when she starts using that, then we can try to work back to the location or the preferences you have, but we've got to set that pattern first.
So what do you think could be causing the pain when she goes if her anal glands aren't always filled with fluid?
Yeah, for me, I do a lot of the same approaches that your doctor has done, where we change the diets. I actually, as gross as it is, I like evidence, and I will actually ask my clients to bring the poop in, because I want to see that full movement. Sometimes there can be changes in the shape or the size of a cat's stool, and that may give us some hints to some problems. If there's any kind of looseness with that, sometimes that may mean that, you know, maybe we really don't have a constipation issue. Maybe we have more of a parasite. So those type of things we might want to deal with.
Okay.
And it's kind of challenging. And I know you don't want to trouble your vet, and you don't want to you know, hit upon her in her time of trials, but your kitty has needs too. So I think that's a, you know, a valid thing. And most veterinarians have fill-ins or substitutes, folks that can kind of work in their absence. And and I think that would be very important for your baby.
Okay.
Good luck with that, Kathy. We thank you for your call. Keep us posted if you need a follow-up. We can do that for you.
Well, this portion of Animal Radio is brought to you by Base Paws.
What does Base Paws do?
Well, you know those DNA tests where you find out about your family tree and you learn about your potential health risks?
Yeah, I'm familiar with them. I've actually done it.
I know. Well, this one's for cats. Base Paws can trace your cat's breed type and origins. And breed influences their personality, as you know, their traits, and most importantly, hereditary genetic health conditions. This is the information that can help your cat live a longer and better life.
Well, after the test, do they give you a report on your cat?
Well, of course. And the report includes your cat's breed, their dental health score, vital information about their health, and a whole lot more.
You know, I have two kittens that were found on the streets of Los Angeles, and they claim they're brothers, but I'm not quite sure because they've grown up now, and they're, you know, I know cats are different colors, but they're so different in size, so different in personality. I'd really like to know if they are true brothers.
Now, write this website down. It's basepaws.com. That's BASEPAWS.com. Use the code ANIMALRADIO, and you'll get $25 off your first order.
Celebrating the connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio, featuring your dream team, veterinarian Dr. Debbie White and groomer Joey Villani. And here are your hosts, Hal Abrams and Judy Francis.
Coming up in just a few minutes, Jamie Farr, Klinger from MASH, will be joining us. And yeah, he has animals in his life and actually was a chinchilla farmer.
Really?
Believe that was one of his first jobs.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm looking at you, Hal. I'm not sure.
Are you saying I'm giving misinformation, Judy? Because you know I never do that.
You like to make stuff.
How do you grow those things?
Yeah, chinchillas?
Yeah. Where do you plant? What kind of soil they grow in?
I will have to ask them. These are very good questions. You know, I was thinking, manure. What the hell am I going to talk to him about? But now I'm going to ask him all about growing chinchillas. Is that a summer plant? Are they perennials? Oh, they're an animal. I'm hearing right now in my headphones that they're an animal. A soft, furry animal. They make chinchilla coats? Chinchilla shoes? Oh, good.
That's what they used to do.
We'll find out more about that in just a couple of minutes right here on Animal Radio. You lucky dog. Which one are we going to? We're going to John?
Going to John.
Hey, John.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Where are you calling from today?
I'm in Florida.
Beautiful day there today?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's great.
Well, Dr. Debbie's right here. What's going on with your animals?
Well, the problem that I have is I have a 100-pound boxer and I have a mutt, but they drink a lot of water. But what my problem is, I have a water bottle in the garage turned upside down. You know, the 5-gallon bottle on top of a bowl, it used to only be a 2-gallon, and I put a bigger one on, but it would get all moldy inside. So my vet told me it was okay to use pool water in it, which keeps it clear. But I'm just worried about them drinking so much pool water continuously. I mean, they always have fresh in the house, but they're always outside because they just have to be out with you.
Now, where is this water container? It's in the garage or it's outside?
No, it's in the garage, but it's just... The way it is, it's so hot here and humid that it gets, you know, the bottle just starts getting moldy, and they drink quite a bit, plus other dogs visit, and they go through I probably fill it twice a week.
Okay. Definitely in a hot environment. So if we have a large amount of water, we can definitely have some mold accumulation, some different different things growing in there. So that's not an ideal situation. And definitely changing it more than twice a week, I'd have to say, for any water source, ideally we'd be changing that water daily, because that alone will help decrease the incidence of things growing in that water and just losing its freshness. Right. So that would be one thing. And I'm glad to hear it's out of the sun, because that's the other tip that I was going to recommend, is to keep the water source out of the sun, because that'll definitely hasten the development of green water or slime in there. But, you know, I'm not opposed to pool water, and dogs drink pool water, as long as we're dealing with the really diluted chlorinated water that's in pools, it's really not a big deal. The problem comes if you have pools that are shocked and that have the high concentration of the chlorine, the chemicals in that. That's when we really don't want to be touching that water. That should not be any business for the doggies at that time. But for every, you know, everyday water, it's not a big deal. And, okay. You know, some folks, you know, will even add a little bit of bleach to drinking water as a way to keep safe if you're out hiking. So that's even one thing that we can do, is use some very dilute bleach in the drinking water.
Well, that was my next question, as opposed to, you know, them continuously having to pull water, because I'm just out. I work so much outside, and they're always out with me, and they're just continuously using this bottle. And, I mean, you know, they kill it, but it's still, it just starts getting green. That was another suggestion, was 1 tablespoon of bleach per gallon of water. And I wasn't sure about doing, I mean, they say it's okay for humans if you let it sit 30 minutes, but I wasn't sure for these guys, or just stay with the pool water and I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a benefit with the bleach, and I think what you said is much higher than what I typically use. I only use about 8 drops per gallon for the sanitizing that water. So at that level, you might pick up a little bit of an odor of bleach, but you just kind of let it sit, like you said, and it should be okay for long-term ingestion. But you don't want to eyeball it. You really want to measure it out, because if you get enough bleach ingested, and that could be a problem if you're just kind of winging it on the dilution there.
Hey, Doc, what about those spigots? Aren't there spigots that you can turn on but don't drip the water where the dog drinks, and it only comes out when the dog drinks from it?
Yeah, that's a great setup as well, if you can do that, and if you have the water source where you know, you can set that up outside. So, yeah, that's a nice alternative as well, because we definitely want to have fresh water. You know, there's so many different protozoas that can, even just in a sitting bowl of water. Yeah. So whether or not we're having large amounts, things like Giardia, which is a protozoa that, you know, it's just a common everyday thing. We can find it in dog bowls, cat bowls, if the water in the bowl is not changed frequently enough. So that is imperative. And definitely, we want those dogs to drink tons of water. It's good for them. And especially if they're out and they're active in that high temperature, we want to give lots of fresh water for them.
And it's the high temperature, but it's the humidity, like on my back porch.
Yeah, John, you know, you make me thrilled that I live in a desert environment. I don't have to worry about mosquitoes. I don't have to worry about green slime.
You know, when you started this call, I wanted to be there in Florida with you. Now,
yeah,
now
but,
not so much.
Call me around Christmas time.
Is it true that you have a book out?
Yeah, it absolutely is true. Yes, oh. I am a newly published author.
Cool.
On an ebook on Yorkshire Terriers.
Ooh.
So you can pick it up on Amazon. You can find more info on my personal Facebook page as well.
Ooh.
But yeah, so I have more coming out. It's kind of a fun new adventure for Dr. Debbie here, and I'm looking forward to more.
Why Yorkshire Terriers?
Well, because Boss is 50% Yorkshire Terrier.
Oh.
So that, I have to say, is first and foremost why I chose that topic. But, you know, it's just something that I wanted to get into, and, you know, helping to get the word out on good pet care and important tips that, you know, sometimes a veterinarian knows that, you know, the average layperson doesn't always know. So we like to give the insider tips on those things.
Good to know. And check out Dr. Debbie's Facebook page and go like it right now. Mm-hmm. Coming up on the show today, actor Jamie Farr. From MASH, Klinger on MASH, the crossdresser on MASH. Oh, probably one of my favorite characters on MASH.
Yeah. I love MASH. I can't wait for this. This is going to be exciting.
Yes. He's he started as a chinchilla farmer back in the day. We'll find out more about
that. Funny.
Coming up right here on Animal Radio. Yeah, seriously.
Okay.
See if he has any chinchillas around. You know,
yeah.
We see him at the office, and you know, we can always squeeze him in down here for a quick visit.
Now, what is a chinchilla exactly?
It's actually in the rodent family. Other than what people know as coats, they're cute little gray white creatures with those big ears. They have dust baths that they roll in. Very entertaining. And
are they biters?
You know, they can bite. Any rodent can bite, but you know, they make really good pets. And
really,
a lot of folks, you know, don't always recognize they can have some dental problems. So that is always a big thing with these guys, keeping them on a good diet. But they're snuggly. They're so affectionate and, you know, good for a little bit older kids, not really young kids.
Do they use litter boxes? Can you train them?
You can, yeah. For most purposes, they're pretty much cage animals. Mm-hmm. So you get them out for exercise, feed them their pellets as well as their hay. And the big thing is they get a dust bath every day. So they don't get water baths. They get dust baths. It keeps that coat so fluffy and soft to the touch.
See, I wonder if that's what the birds were doing in the street.
Yeah, there was
some birds sitting outside in our dirt.
Dirt, and there were some little holes, and
they're
were
making holes with their wings.
In them.
Are you sure they weren't getting worms out now, were they?
No, they were rolling in it. This is really hard, compacted dirt that had little indentations, and they were all rolling in it.
It was very
strange. Fluffing up their feathers. Maybe the dirt absorbs oils or something on them, cleans them?
That or maybe they had some bugs that they were trying to get off.
Stacy, what are you working on?
Dear God, watch what you're doing. This crazy lady, you know, she piled all her laundry together, and obviously she didn't sort it. She just threw it in, so you know that she's probably walking around with gray whites instead of, you know, pink. They're probably tinted. Well, she threw her cat into the washing machine because she didn't sort her laundry correctly. I'll tell you how it came out. Coming up on Animal Radio News.
Have you ever had to deal with that at your office?
You know, absolutely. And it's usually the dryer that the kitty ends up in. Horrible injuries. So it's more common than you think.
Wow.
Yeah, they love to hang out in the laundry.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, kind of hiding and burying under things. So they see that as a fun opportunity. And then, you just don't always know that that thump is the critter and not the shoe or the laundry that you might have in there.
Well, let's hit the phones. What do you say?
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hi, it's Alan Cable with another dog tip. Change is stressful for you, so imagine how it is for your dog. Things like moving to a new place or moving in with someone. And yeah, how about bringing home that new baby? When you do that, you're adding a new member to the pack. A lot of folks bring a new baby home and actually shut their dogs out, give them less attention, get anxious when the dog moves close to the baby. The dog will associate the baby with negative feelings, and your anxious energy will make the dog feel unstable. You don't want that, so let's talk about bringing that new baby home. First, as always, you want the dog to know that the baby is higher in the pack order. You want to teach your dog to respect the baby, and you do this with space. Well, Alan, what does that mean? The baby has a space the dog's not allowed into, like a nursery. You know your baby's coming, the dog doesn't. So when you set up your nursery, it's a great idea not to let your dog in that room. Long before the baby comes home, you're telling the dog that the baby is higher in the pack order. You teach your dog that that room's off limits. Try to keep the same structure you had before. If you take your dog on walks, and you should, keep doing it, but do it with the baby. You can even practice with an empty stroller before the baby comes home. And remember, the dog walks behind the stroller or at your side, never in front. When you enter your house, you're always in front of the dog. Since you're carrying the baby, that again reinforces that the baby is higher in the pack order. Now, once you have your baby, have a member of your family bring one of the baby's t-shirts home. It's got the baby's scent all over it. Put it on the floor, but don't let your dog get near it. Trust me, he can smell it fine from a couple of feet away. After that, you can pick it up and let him get a little closer, but don't let him touch it. Then just go throw it on the floor in the nursery. Again, this is teaching space and respect. Now, the day you bring the baby home, you want to be calm and confident. And you also want to make sure your dog's real tired out before you do it. Have somebody take him for a long walk or play with him. A tired dog is a calm dog. Act like you've come home with the baby a million times before. No big deal. You're calm and confident. And never let your dog invade your space or the baby's. With just a little thought and planning, your dog will give your baby space and respect.
Hi, this is Dr. Paul on Incredible Radio. Is that what it is?
Animal Radio.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hello, this is Dr. Paul on Animal Radio. You know, take care of the pets and make sure that in these hot days that they get in lots of water and don't tie them outside in the sun because then they get a heat stroke.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
Animal Radio. Celebrating our connection with our pets. Grab your furry companion and your pet. Bring him around the radio. Actor Jamie Farr on the way in just a few minutes. Yeah, he's still around. It's funny, our guests recently have run the gamut from the crib to the grave. Everywhere from Bret Michaels to Doris Day. Boy, I didn't realize Doris Day had so many fans calling in. She has a big fan base, doesn't she?
She still does after all these years.
They were calling for weeks before the interview to find out. When is that going to air? Didn't one hassle you one
day? Yeah.
We were making too much fun of Doris Day.
Yeah, because we were kind of joking around whether she was still with us, and they didn't think
they didn't
that
like
was,
that. They were going to come over there and
they didn't think that was
club
dirty.
You with their cane.
Yeah.
Come straighten you out.
Is this the same guy? Oh, cool.
Yes, it is.
We were just talking about you, Terry. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
We were just reaffirming everybody that, yes, the women here are definitely hotter than they sound on the air.
Right.
And the men are uglier.
Yeah, we're dog ugly.
We have radio faces.
What's going on in your world?
Well, I've got two rescue dogs. We've had them for about a year and a half now. One is a Minpin. The other one is an Australian cattle dog. And we took the cattle dog first. We had her for a short time. Our neighbor had a Chihuahua. They got along real well. Then the neighbor moved. And we went and got the Minpin. But she does really well with the little dogs. She adapts with little dogs all the well. But when it comes to dogs her size or bigger, she just has a temperament problem, and we don't know what to do with it. You can hear her snapping. Her jaw is so hard trying to get at them. So she's not socialized at all. And being we don't know her past family life, we don't know what to do with her. So that's our big problem.
What do you do? Firstly, there's a lot of different kinds of aggression in dogs. It's probably the most common problem. And your dog is fearful, very, very anxious and afraid. And that's why she's reacting like that when other dogs come near her. She's afraid. And she figures the best defense is a good offense. And whether she would go at him or not, we don't know. But what are you doing when your dog's acting like this? What's your behavior?
Usually yelling at her to stay, pulling back on the leash. We've tried taking her to the dog parks a couple times, and to get her to socialize is almost impossible. Now, our daughter has an Australian cattle dog, also a different color. We have a blue, and theirs is a tan. And now they bring it over. It was a puppy to begin with, and if we're right there with them, we can keep them from, but she growls, and she snapped a couple times.
But you get very anxious. You're very anxious, and your energy is very manic when your dog's acting like that.
Oh,
you're afraid
sure.
too, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, the best advice to me, because I would love to work with someone like you and be there, because that's what it takes, because it's behavior modification that you have to involve yourself in. And to do that, you have to understand what's triggering your dog, and you already know that. Other dogs are triggering your dog, and you have to know how to divert and redirect your dog's energy and get your dog to where he's not or she's not afraid of other dogs. I would suggest you visit a behavioral therapist, a dog behavioral expert, because there are certain things you need to know so that the problem doesn't get worse. The simple solution is just don't bring your dog around other dogs. for a while. Don't bring your dog around other dogs because that's the trigger. But in order to change your dog's behavior, that's a little involved and it's a little difficult to explain on the phone. I could give you, if somebody gets me an email address, I could actually write you out a plan of action that you could follow. But getting a sure. behavioral expert would be a very good idea for you to teach you how to be calm and be an assertive, calm, pack leader because that's what your dog needs. Your dog is anxious and fearful because the dog is protecting you as well as afraid for itself right now.
Yeah. See, my wife is there with the dogs all the time, and I work. So, when we got her, this dog has never tried to leave. I mean, it's like she walked through the door and said, okay, I'm at my home, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. The gates can be open. She'll bark at people.
Very fearful.
At that gate. Oh yeah. Just
you know, I have a neighbor with a dog like that. This dog is just a mess because they were taking a walk one day, and another dog attacked while his dog was on a leash. And ever since that day, he's been a wreck. So his dog is a wreck, and he won't let his dog be around other dogs. And I was walking by his house, and his dog is barking like a maniac. And I walked up there, and he's freaking out. The neighbor's freaking out. And I said, Larry, just leave me alone with your dog for a couple of minutes. Go in your house. And I had them playing and acting like dogs within 10 minutes. I mean, they were just acting like dogs. His dog was acting like a dog again instead of like a mess. And that's because that's the dog is feeding off his energy. His energy is so manic and crazy. The dog thinks there's something to be afraid of even when there isn't. It's like Joey's in the room.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that makes sense because and my wife gets her son was here with his daughter, a baby, and no, I don't want the dog because she snaps and she growls and that. And I said, the dog is fine. Leave him alone. And we've never had any problem. I mean, it's a baby and a baby's full on dog. And she's done really well, but my wife gets really anxious and I can see it then, you know, because she keeps him away and puts her out in the garage when the baby's there and things like that.
Well, your wife is smart. I mean, you should definitely keep the dog leashed when the baby's there. You don't know what could happen, and the time distance between a dog becoming fearful and actually being aggressive is so short and so unpredictable if you don't know what you're looking at when you watch a dog that it's very smart to be cautious when there's a baby around. But you can keep the dog around you. Just make sure the dog is on a leash. Make sure you're right there when the baby approaches the dog at all times.
Yeah, okay, that works.
It is exhausting being around dogs that aren't calm and don't know their order in the pack and don't understand exactly why they have nothing to fear. A fearful dog and a dog that's unsocialized is a very exhausting dog.
You're listening to Animal Radio. Call the Dream Team now with the free Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
How'd you like to eliminate your expensive cable bill forever or get new satellite internet where cable can't go? Well, now you can have affordable satellite internet service for a few dollars a day. All you need is a mini satellite installed, and you can have unlimited internet connections wirelessly in your home or office. And no cable boxes means unlimited connections and no clutter. You can surf the internet or stream any of your favorite television services with no cable. And the best part is, satellite internet service costs only a few dollars a day for your entire home. Yes, fast internet to surf or stream television for a few bucks a day. Call now for free details and learn how to drop your expensive cable bill.
800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. 800-696-2871. That's 800-696-2871.
Hi, this is Maya Bialik on Animal Radio. Please adopt a pet.
This is an Animal Radio news update.
I'm Stacey Cohen for Animal Radio. You know, I'm not the most, I guess you wouldn't call me Susie Homemaker. I don't spend that much time with my laundry and cleaning and things like that. But I do sort my whites and my darks. This Scottish woman, though, she needs to sort her cat. with her darks. She's most likely going to give it a little bit more attention after she accidentally tossed her cat in the washing machine. Emma Lothian told the Scotsman that Tinker, her family's 10-week-old tortoiseshell, was apparently sleeping in the laundry basket with a pile of dirty clothes, and it wound up going through the hot water wash cycle before she was discovered. Lothian says she first noticed something was wrong when Tinker wasn't running around her legs as she did her chores. Eventually, she heard a noise coming from the washing machine. Lothian saw Tinker stuck on top of the clothes, and she pried open the door to get her out. Well, she immediately wrapped the cat in a towel and brought her to the vet and says it didn't look like Tinker was going to make it. But the vet, John Buxton, who says he's never seen a case like this, put the cat in a heated oxygen chamber and eventually made a full recovery. Yay for Tinker. Well, the Utah photographer who spotted a person dressed like a mountain goat on an Ogden hillside is describing his encounter. Cody Creighton says the photo showing a costumed human mingling with real wild goats on Ben Lomond Peak.
With the binoculars, I could clearly see it was a guy dressed up in a homemade goat suit. It was like kind of furry and matted, and he had like big leather gloves on because he's on his hands and knees crawling on the mountainside.
State officials say mountain goats can become aggressive and inflict serious harm. They also worried that the individual who was dressed as a goat could be mistaken for wild game by hunters. Well, state wildlife officers say they heard back from the man who claimed to be the person in this homemade goat suit who was seen on the side of the mountain. The 57-year-old hunter told the Division of Wildlife Resources that he was testing out his suit in preparation for a goat hunt in Canada next year. Officers were never concerned about any law that was being broken. Instead, they were worried about the safety of anybody who would put on a homemade goat suit and go running after a herd of real mountain goats, which have real horns, by the way. And they're also known to be very territorial. Firefighters in Florida, they were forced to make a big rescue this week. WFOR-TV reports Pembroke Pines Fire Rescue and the Southwest Ranches Volunteer Fire Department were called to save Strawberry, a 900-pound pig. That is a big pig, a lot of bacon there. She fell into a pond on her way to her new home. The team says they used a ladder and a large tarp to get the animal out of the 5-foot-deep water, and their efforts were successful. Strawberry was eventually returned to her trailer for the 450-mile ride across Florida. I'm Stacy Cohen. Get more animal breaking news at animalradio.com.
This has been an Animal Radio news update. Get more at animalradio.com.
You're listening to Animal Radio. If you missed any part of today's show, visit us at animalradio.com or download the Animal Radio app for iPhone and Android.
Hey, this is Nicole Sullivan on Animal Radio. Please spay and neuter your pets, please.
I see another underlying theme developing here, Judy. Uh-huh. Good friends of the show, Gary Berghoff, of course, Loretta Swit. Now, Jamie Farr is joining us. Jamie, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I didn't realize that, I know Loretta is with Animals, Actors, and Others, and I didn't realize that Gary was on your show. We support, of course, Animals, Actors, and Others, along with Neural Holloman, and you, I'm sure, know the history of that organization.
Oh,
right?
Absolutely. And I want to talk about you because we don't have a lot of time here.
Okay.
You didn't start off, I mean, I guess you wanted to be an actor, but you had to take some of those kind of iffy jobs, right, before so?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding? Yeah, one of them, yeah, actually, I tell this story quite often. When I was studying theater in Hollywood, I had to take a job as in a chinchilla ranch where I had to clean out the dropping pans. Clint Eastwood was in the class. He was cleaning out swimming pools, and a wonderful actor by the name of Robert Donner, who used to be on Mork and Mindy, Exeter, he used to have to clean out the theater. So we had these three cleaning jobs. We lost Robert Donner this past year, the wonderful actor.
Yes.
Of course, we know what happened to Clint Eastwood and Jamie Farr.
So working on a chinchilla farm or chinchilla ranch, cleaning up poop. Eventually,
I was really raking it in then.
Literally.
When you got hired for MASH, it was like for one episode, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, Gary and Loretta were signed to the show right from the beginning, and I was sort of just a tack on. I was a one-day day player. I came on, I think I got $250 for the day.
Uh-huh.
I had like four lines on the show. And the next thing I knew, they kept calling me back. I did about six shows that first year, and then I came back the second year, did about 12 shows. And then in the third year, they signed me to a contract.
Wow, that's... You know, I always thought you were the most sane person on that show there.
You have a warped way of looking at the world, I'm afraid, Al.
Trudella, yeah, he does.
I understand that there was a book that you put out in 2003. I believe, I'm guessing Joy is your wife?
Yes, Joy is... I often say I've been with the same woman for 44 years, and if my wife ever finds out, yeah, we've got two children. We have a son who's married and blessed us with a grandchild, and our daughter's 34 years old, and she's unmarried. We're looking around trying to find some nice young man. I've got a wonderful line I tell everybody, and Alan Alda gave it to me. He says, you know why grandparents and grandchildren are so close? Is because they have a common enemy.
I love that one.
Well, we have a lot of animal lovers listening, and, you know, animal lovers would make a good spouse, I would imagine.
I think so. Yes, they do.
You know, my wife is the Pied Piper. If there is an animal out there, they will go to her. She is the kindest, sweetest thing that you have ever imagined in your life. We've always had pets. We had a pet. I bought her a poodle years and years ago, and then we found a stray dog and brought that dog in, and uh-huh. then we have now three cats in our house. I can't think of one time when we didn't have animals in the house. And if you are an animal and you come and stay at our house, you're going to be spoiled, because my wife will do everything in the world to make that animal comfortable and happy.
A five-star resort there. I wanted to go back to the book. The book is about a camel. The camel, I guess, was an inspiration from the MASH series?
Oh, you're talking about the one that my wife and I wrote.
Yes.
Called Hababy's Christmas.
Yes.
Yes, that was a children's book.
The particular camel, was that something you did introduce on MASH?
Yeah, it was an imaginary camel that I had named Habibi, which means sweetheart in Arabic. And so we decided, why don't we create a Habibi marries his wife Habiba, and they have a baby called Hababy.
I know we don't have a lot of time. I want to mention that 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. all day Monday. It's like a marathon.
Marathon. It's a MASH marathon, which I host. I do all the wraparounds for it. And it's 20 episodes of half-hour episodes of MASHes that I have selected. A lot of them featuring me, of course. Flying over the compound with fuzzy pink slippers, showing up as the Statue of Liberty when General MacArthur's arriving, eating a Jeep, being Zoltan, the great gypsy fortune teller, and any number of things that I have done on the show over the 11 years. It's just a fun day, and I know if you're a fan, you'll enjoy it, and if you've never seen the show, here's a wonderful opportunity to see a great, great television series.
And it's on the Hallmark Channel Monday. So if you're off Monday and you need something to do, this is an awesome way to spend your Monday watching the MASH Bash with Klinger hosting. Jamie Farr, of course, joining us.
Right. And of course, you'll see Loretta and Gary on there, and you know how much they love the animals.
Absolutely.
So, that's a good reason to watch the day's event.
Jamie, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, and you have a good, safe day.
Dogs or cats, horse or emu.
A dog owner in Scotland wasn't sure what to make of his dog's rattling stomach. When Chris Morrison took his dog Oscar to the vet, he had no idea what was wrong with his 5-year-old lab. The vet suspected Oscar might have eaten something other than dog food, but when he went into his stomach, he was stunned. Vet Bob Hesketh found 13 golf balls. One of them was black from having been inside Oscar for so long. Oscar's owner explained that he and Oscar loved to take long walks on the golf course at night and in the early morning. He knew Oscar liked golf balls and enjoyed bringing them home. He had no idea he was swallowing them. Oscar's now on a diet of watered-down food until his stomach heals, and although he can still go for walks on the golf course, he wears a muzzle as part of his no-golf-ball diet. I'm Britt Savage for Animal Radio.
Animals are people, too. Animal Radio.
Hi, this is Paul Rogers.
And Cynthia Rogers.
On Animal Radio.
Just know that it's going to be all right, meow.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours. And let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. 800-478-6084. That's 800-478-6084.
This is
Animal Radio, baby.
And let's take another one for Dr. Debbie. We have Mark on the phone. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Yeah, I'm an 11-year-old rat terrier, and he's never had his teeth cleaned. And I'm getting a lot of frightening numbers when I just called around to vet. Is there any way of doing this in a cheaper way?
Okay.
Talking $800 and stuff like that.
Okay. And you know, oh, gosh. You know, Mark, it's really hard to give an accurate number for a dental cleaning over the phone, first of all, especially if your baby's never had teeth cleaned. And in 11 years, there's a lot of stuff that can settle in and a lot of problems that can settle along those gums.
Right.
So the hard thing is to try to find a price-conscious price for a dental cleaning and one that's going to still do your doggy justice. So for me, I'd make sure if you're getting those quotes over the phone, the first thing would be to make sure you do get someone to actually look in your dog's mouth and to see, because some dog mouths are really quite horrendous and have a lot of work that needs to be done. Others may not be so bad. So before you make that judgment on where you're going to go with things, get that eyeball on your dog's mouth, if you will. But as far as cost of the dental cleaning, it's going to depend a lot on what we've got going on. So a basic dental cleaning may just be scaling, polishing, taking tartar off the teeth. But if we've got loose teeth, we need antibiotics, or if there's going to be the need for surgical extractions, then that price definitely goes up. So while I don't have an easy answer for that, you might just check around, do a little bit of shopping. But some other alternatives for folks, if you're looking for dental care and maybe you need that and you know you need an $800 dental cleaning that entails extractions and antibiotics and pain medicine, and you know that's something your dog needs, you can look for some other resources if you're looking to get some help for that. One tip might be to check if you're in a state that has a veterinary school. They train veterinarians to clean dogs' teeth. And many many states also have veterinary technology programs. So basically the vet nurses that do this procedure in the vet offices. So if you check to see if those type of schools are in your area, you might be able to come in at a discounted rate. Kind of like my mom, when we were kids, we always went to the hairdresser, and it was the hairdresser school. So we never really had a professional haircut when we were kids. But, you know, hey, it was great. It helped, you know, future hairstylists get a good education, and my mom saved some money on that. So there's no harm in that. So if you need some resources there, you can check out veterinaryschools.com, as well as just searching for veterinary accredited schools. Outside of that, if you're looking for other assistance financially for veterinary care, the Humane Society does have a listing of some different resources state by state that you might be able to find to help you with the costs of veterinary veterinary care. But I guess the bottom line here, Mark, is that when we have those teeth that haven't been touched by a veterinarian in 11 years, it's going to take some work. So I would be cautious. Anybody can clean teeth, but if we leave diseased teeth in, then we're not doing your doggy any good. So unfortunately, cost may guide you towards the best veterinary care that your doggy needs.
I have another question. He just went through a bout with being constipated pretty bad. I mean, I got to the point I was giving him enemas and stuff. I don't know what caused it, but he eats pretty good food, Cleaner One Beyond, and has no corn in it or anything. Also, I have a question about bones. He loves bones, and I know cow bones, he can't chew them up and eat them so much. He leaves it behind. But I know with the pork bones, he can chew them and eat them and swallow the whole bone. Is that bad for him?
Yeah, I am not a fan of bones, I'll tell you that. Any bones, whether they're cow bones or pork bones, any bone that a dog chews on can be exercise for the teeth. Now, if your doggy has rotten teeth and he needs them cleaned, I'm going to tell you, take those bones away, because that's going to be painful for him until he gets his teeth taken care of. But any bones that dogs chew, they can break off shards, get those stuck. I've seen bone shards go down the esophagus, get puncture through into the respiratory tract. It can really be some bad stuff. So it's not the best way to deal with maintaining dental care. And then I also want to ask you, regarding the constipation thing there, Mark, is your dog neutered?
Yes.
He is. Okay, great. Because that would be something that can be a cause. If a dog's not neutered, a male dog's not neutered, they can have prostate problems.
Oh.
So you might make sure you get your little guy into the vet and just have them look at from head to toe and see what's going on there. Dietary-wise, a lot of times we can find some solutions for constipation. And, sometimes something as simple as giving canned pumpkin can help kind of loosen up the stools or even bulk them up a little bit. And give your old fella there, 11-year-old rat here, give him a pat on the head from us and all our best doggy wishes for him.
All right, thank you. I'll look into that vet school.
Thanks for calling, Mark. I appreciate it. 1-866-405-8405. You have a dental cleaning, something you got to do because you can get a lot of fatal diseases if you don't do that. Is it generally more expensive for a cat or a dog to get their teeth cleaned?
I think it tends to be more expensive for cats because most people don't see the need for a regular preventative care for cats, so it gets a lot more advanced. But, with anything, prevention. Sometimes that $150 to $250 bill seems like a lot for a regular cleaning. But, if it helps put off these bigger problems down the road, it really can be a savings.
But he was talking about $800.
Yeah.
Well,
that seems steep.
But that isn't just a cleaning. That's probably a pet who has periodontal disease. So we've already got erosion of the gums. There's advanced dental disease. It probably smells pretty putrid.
And I bet it also includes blood work and things of that nature for an elderly dog.
In generally, yeah. Like in my office, a dog of that age would have blood work. We'd have an IV in place. And, they get antibiotics because we know there's infection. We don't want to disturb those bacteria, send those into the bloodstream, and have those cause problems. So we want to make sure we protect the babies.
And for God's sake, get rid of those bones. And even rawhide, too. I guess compressed rawhide is what you recommend,
right,
Isn't it?
Yeah, I'm a fan of that just because it lasts longer, gives them a good chewing ability. But any pet that has injured teeth, if they have advanced dental disease or we have problem teeth, that's not how we want to intervene. So that's when I take those chew toys away and make sure we get the teeth taken care of before you reintroduce that.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Have a great week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Animal Radio Network.